Sherry Burgee says day by day, it's getting more difficult to feed her family.
There we go.
$100 at the grocery store buys less than it did last year. What used to fill 5 bags might fill 3 now.
So I just don't find it. It's very fair. I'm going to pay more and get less.
Burgee's experience mirrored in every household across the country. According to the latest Canada Food Price Report, over the past year, the cost of bakery items has increased by nearly 15%. Vegetables up by 12.7%, and fruit just a point lower. The prices for dairy up almost 10%, and meat up almost 8%.
All right, so that's the situation, right? We're all dealing with foodflation. But then this morning on a couple of Jeff Braun's newscasts, I heard this story out of Cape Breton University, where food security at that post-secondary institution is a real problem.
Daminpreet Singh says the student-run food bank at the university in Sydney, Nova Scotia, gives out 50 packages of food daily, but as many as 100 students a day are reaching out for help. Singh says many students are really struggling with food affordability, and the food bank needs more staff, space, and money. He also believes the need for food is likely tied to the cost of living in Sydney, as well as the scarcity of available work. Rob Westgate, The Canadian Press.
So I reached out to the head of the students' union at the University of Manitoba. Many of these post-secondary institutions have food banks. And then, of course, many students, I'm sure, deal with places like Harvest Manitoba as well. But Jaron Rykus is the president of the University of Manitoba Students' Union. And I caught him, I recorded a bit of a conversation with him earlier this morning as he was about to get on a plane. So I'm glad I was able to talk to him and ask him about the situation at the University of Manitoba. Are you seeing what they're seeing at Cape Breton University as well, at the University of Manitoba?
Look, I mean, with the rising cost of inflation, students across the country are going to continue seeing crisis with regard to, you know, purchasing groceries, with regard to, you know, anything that's required for them to have a safe and sustainable life. And food is always going to be a part of that. So, you know, we've definitely seen a rise in food insecurity, and we've definitely seen a struggling student population for sure.
Do you have a food bank at the University of Manitoba?
We do, yeah. Our administration as well as the union have partnered for the last several years on our food bank. Food bank isn't necessarily going to cover all of the demands. It's only one piece of the puzzle to finding a solution to this issue.
Listen, it's been a long time since I was in college, but I know when I was in college, I struggled. I can only imagine the struggle for many students, as you pointed out at the start of this, how the price of everything has increased so much.
It's bad, yeah. I mean, the price of groceries is going up. The price of you know, even in Winnipeg, which is a very affordable city, you know, the price of housing continues to rise, which is causing issues for students attempting to find a home. You know, we have international students who come to this province, pay, you know, roughly 4 or 5 times higher tuition. And on top of that, they're expected to find a place to live. And, you know, whereas a couple of years ago, you know, a one-bedroom apartment might have cost you, what, you know, $400, $500. Mm-hmm. Now you're looking at minimum $800, right? That's not a workable solution.
Yeah. So what do we do? What are you doing about this food insecurity at the university?
I mean, I don't know if it's necessarily something that we solve overnight, right? I mean, it's going to be a long process for now. We're looking to spread information. We gave our pre-budget submission to the university, and they've taken a look at the recommendations that we've given to attempt to resolve some of the discrepancies. But, you know, the main thing that we're seeing is there just needs to be more investment in post-secondary education. There needs to be more of an investment in students in general, right? If we're looking to support students, if we're looking to solve an inflationary crisis, the best way to do that is by providing money to the people who are best, you know, supported by providing that money.
So you have asked the university for more money specifically for food for students that are struggling.
I mean, we've talked to them and we've had conversations about looking to increase the budget and increase the supports that are available from our food bank. Absolutely.
Jaron Rykus, president of the Students Union at the University of Manitoba. Now, Stephen Nixon, a Winnipeg firefighter, because the rooftop campout is back. Stephen, good morning.
Morning, Hal. Happy Monday.
Yeah, thanks for doing this. I appreciate it. So it begins tomorrow in Osborne Village. I'm curious to know, before we get into the details, does it feel good to be doing this again after a few years of not doing it?
It really does. It's been a long hiatus and a long couple of years for all of us. So we're all looking forward to getting back into the swing of things and raising money for this very good cause.
Talk about the cause, because it's muscular dystrophy.
It is muscular dystrophy. And, you know, as you said earlier, we are camping on the roof of the Osborne Station downtown. This will be our 11th year camping in support of muscular dystrophy. And it's something that us firefighters hold near and dear to our hearts. Every money we raise in Manitoba this week will stay within Manitoba to support those living with MD.
So it begins tomorrow. It wraps up on Friday. At any given time, how many firefighters do you have on the roof there at Station 4?
We've got four firefighters camping out for the next couple of nights there. One of our campers is a veteran camper of 5 years. He's been doing it. He's our spokesman, our role model, if you'll call it. And this year we've got three new campers, first-timers up there. So they're all looking forward to it. Great guys. And, again, we're all here for the right cause and a good cause.
Yeah, and so then starting tomorrow and again on Wednesday, Thursday, and into Friday, people going through Osborne Village will at times see firefighters with boots, and the hope is that you'll throw a loony or a toonie or even a $5 or a $10 bill in the boot to help out.
That's right. Well, morning and afternoon rush hours, you will see our firefighters. Many of our guys just got off shift, coming off night shift, heading down there to help out. We'll be, in the rush hour, wearing our turnout coats, boot in hand, and anything that anyone is able to donate would be muchly appreciated. So we'll see how things change. You know, last time we did it was 2019, where, change and loonies were a little more prevalent than they are now. Everyone's tapping and everything, but, hopefully Winnipeg puts out like they usually do and help out.
That's a good point, right? I mean, you know, it has been a few years, and everybody is tapping a card now as opposed to carrying cash. Do you think that could have an impact?
Yeah, hoping it doesn't. I'm sure it will. Believe it or not, Muscular Dystrophy Canada actually retrofitted a couple pairs of firefighting boots with a tap option on them. So we'll see how those work. The weather isn't looking too warm in the morning, so hopefully the electronics don't fail on us, but there will be the odd option to tap. But every year it's the loonies and toonies that really add up for us.
Well, that's very cool that they did that. That's interesting, huh?
Yeah, it's something new, and I guess it's a change of the times, right? Everyone, like you said, everyone's tapping now on their phone or cards, so we'll see how it works.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious, do you have a goal? Like, what did you do in 2019, if you can remember? And do you have a goal this year, or are you just hoping for the best?
Well, our goal in 2019 was $100,000 raised during the week. And believe it or not, we did meet that goal that year. It was great. But again, times change and we're getting back in the swing of things. We will obviously take what we can get. And I think it's safe to say we'll try and maintain that goal of $100,000. You know, Kyle, whatever we bring in, again, is just, it goes to a very good cause, and all the monies we bring in stay here in Manitoba, which is great.
Yeah. Well, listen, and I'll encourage people to, you know, if they don't get a boot that's got the tap option, there's nothing saying they can't pull into Station 4 there at 150 Osborne and drop off a 20 or whatever, right? There, if somebody is wanting to help, you're happy to take the help.
We are happy to help. If they want, they can pull up to the fire hall there, ring the bell, and one of our campers on the roof will lower a firefighter boot down by a rope, and they can fill the boot, and we'll haul it back up. So it's great. Bring the kids down. They love to see the fire trucks. They love to ring the bell and see the campers up there.
Yeah, very cool. Steven, I hope I can get you or some other firefighters on for updates as we go along through the rooftop campo.
My phone is always on, Hal. You can call me anytime you need, and I would be happy to give updates.
Thank you, Stephen. Appreciate it. Good luck.
Thanks, Hal. Take care.
All right, Stephen Nixon, Winnipeg firefighter, treasurer with the Firefighters Union, and the rooftop campout again gets going tomorrow. But we begin hour two of Connecting Winnipeg with Ravi Rambaran, owner of St. James Burger and the Four Crowns and a new restaurant. Ravi, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Hal?
Excellent. Thanks for coming on. I got to tell you, man, you and your businesses do so much for great causes locally. Check out Ravi and St. James Burger and the Four Crowns on social media. You're always doing good for people in the community, your customers. And so I'm happy to have you on today to talk about your new restaurant. The ribbon gets cut this afternoon at 5:30. Tell us about Dreamland Diner on Portage Avenue.
Yeah, thanks. Dreamland's the new venture. It's at the corner of Thompson and Portage, just close to Moray, right beside the infamous Underdog. And that's at 2615 Portage. And yeah, today's the grand opening. Today's the official grand opening. Basically, it's a really family-oriented a restaurant with a very 1950s mid-century theme. That really cool retro style with the checkered floors and the red and white furniture and the neon. And it's just a great place to take your kids. We've got a bunch of kids' meals, but more importantly, we are a full-service ice cream shop, and that's our primary business there.
Yeah. I mentioned this in my food column, Hal's Kitchen, yesterday in the Winnipeg Sun. I can't wait to try the deep fried Mars bar. You've got some pretty cool stuff like that on the menu too.
Yeah. You know, our chefs just kind of try to have fun with the menu. And I think just based on the fact that it's an ice cream and dessert shop, it really lends itself to creative, cooks in the kitchen that just, you know, hey, we should try this today. Yeah. That sounds like a great idea. Let's deep fry a Mars bar. Sure. Why not? You know? So it's a lot of fun, and the food that we do have, it's very, very affordable food. It's nothing fancy. We got a mm-hmm. variety of kids meals, and if the adults want to have a bite, we've got hot dogs and smokies on the menu.
Yeah, of course, not that particular spot, but along Portage there is well known for, there was back in the day, not that long ago, a great 50s themed restaurant. Did that play into your decision to do this, or why fit it? Listen, when I first came to Winnipeg in 1989, I played oldies on KY58 back in the day with Ron Abel, right? So, I mean, I'm very well aware of the 50s and the music and the vibe. But yeah. We're almost getting to the point now where a lot of people don't even remember the 50s.
I think now's a really good time to bring back that feel. I think 10 years ago would have been a little bit too early, you know, where it's not quite cool and retro enough. Now it's one of those things where, you know, I grew up going to restaurants like that when I was small. I remember Susie Q's, and it was just so cool. What a great memory, right? So now I want to take my kids to a place like that. And I think a lot of parents do. So it kind of gets to relive that experience a little bit and teach our kids about it and just make it really fun.
Yeah. You know, I can't help but think of Happy Days, the old TV show, and then, you know, food, like nostalgia is huge, right? And over the pandemic, I think comfort food became really important to us. And so I think this has a nostalgia, obviously, and a comfort to it. I think you're going to do well with this because I think people are looking for that nostalgia, that comfort, maybe better days, right? I don't know.
You know, that's what we wanted to make, kind of a recession-proof restaurant, which I know isn't, you know, always possible. But what I mean by that is we wanted to make the food really affordable and simple. So families could come out, obviously, for ice cream. But if they wanted to have a few bites, it's not going to cost them $15 a head like it does at other restaurants where it's $15 to $20, even $25 a person. It's going to cost them $7-$8. They can have a hot dog if they want. They don't need a full plated meal, right? Where families can still go out with their kids and have a dining experience without costing $100. You know, where unfortunately that is the reality these days at a lot of dine-in restaurants, right? So, and that's really no one's fault, but it's just what things cost these days. So we wanted to create something where people could still go out and with inflation still be able to have a few bites with their family and have a really enjoyable atmosphere and experience.
Well, I was going to say, you know, here you are opening yet another restaurant, you could argue, at the most difficult time, and yet you're optimistic. And I think your approach to, I don't know if any restaurant is recession-proof, and you sort of chuckled as you said that, but I get what you're what you're saying. You're saying, listen, you know what? If you want to come and have a hot dog or just an ice cream cone or an order of fries, you can do that. You don't have to go and spend $20, $25, $30 and have a big sit-down meal. You can, and I think that is a trend that we're seeing in restaurants.
It is. It is. And it sucks, to be honest. But it's, you know, there's nothing really anyone can do about it. Inflation is very real. And I just, you know, opening a restaurant sounded really silly, you know, when the idea first came to light. And then I thought, what can people actually go out and do right now that they'd be willing to do right now? And spending $5 or $6 on a hot dog sounds realistic, right? Mm-hmm. And the kids can go out and have a meal for $7 or $8 and they can have an ice cream cone on top of it and afford to have dessert on top of their meal, right? So, again, I think affordability is a big thing. We're not a gourmet restaurant at all, by any means. We're not trying to be. We are trying to be a very family-focused kids restaurant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and families are struggling right now. They can't take the two or three kids out and have a family meal in a restaurant. So I think you're on. I think you may be onto something. I guess time will tell. You know, as now the owner of three restaurants, you're maybe the perfect guy to ask this question of, what about staffing? Are you having challenges getting good workers, keeping good workers, and attracting good workers?
I think I might be one of the lucky ones where I've been good with retaining my staff. And with Dreamland, it's been incredible. Like, we have so many resumes coming in there. It's awesome. I think that atmosphere just really attracts people. But I'm not. And I think that the world is taking a bit of a turn where people are starting to get back to work. And, you know, I'm part of a restaurant group in the city where we have our WhatsApp group and we chat about staffing and that. And we would ask each other constantly, hey, do you have someone that can do dishwashing? Do you have a host? Do you have servers that are looking for more work? And those requests have gone right down in the last few months. So I think staffing is really taking a turn, which is nice to see.
Mm-hmm. Ravi, all the best with Dreamland Diner. Appreciate you coming on and keep up the good work in the community, man. You're such a cool guy for doing everything that you do. And so I wish you nothing but success.
Hey, and vice versa. You know, thanks for doing what you do. And thanks for having me on today.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.